there's the opening.
Welcome to Dance Monkey Dance Podcast. I'm Chris.
Wait.
Who?
I don't know.
Who are you?
Yeah, you do the opening.
Go okay. Ahead. Hi. Welcome to Dining with Friends.
Wait, you just had it a second ago.
I know. Dance Monkey Dance Podcast. I'm Chris. You don't. I'm pointing to you. Say your name.
Chris.
Just like every week. I'm John.
I'm Brooke.
I'm Christian.
Dance Monkey Dance.
Hello,
Brendan.
Hello, everyone.
Are you offering free samples?
Sorry, go ahead.
I guess he's feeling better.
Oh.
That's the ice water.
That's the ice water?
Yeah.
It's like spinach.
The elixir of life.
It's like spinach? Who are you?
Spinach.
Popeye?
Popeye, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It loves me water.
Yuck.
This should be the whole show, just making
just making
sounds.
So we did like a radio show years ago, and at the end of every radio show, we basically like have, because we could actually accept call-ins. Can we do that here?
No.
Yet. So
you want to give out your phone number?
Yeah. Please call us.
Yes.
We got a call in line. But we would basically take pages of scripts, and then people would like call in, and there was a...
There was an online platform as well.
A message box, instant message.
Yeah.
Wow.
Online platform, yeah.
The message box.
So people would be like, do an impression of this. We would do terrible impressions, but it was tons of fun, like, taking, like, a script and then, like, flipping, like, be like, hey, everybody, I'm Pee Wee Herman, you know, and then be like, yeah, much better impressions at that point in time.
Wait, I want to hear your Pee Wee Herman impression.
Yeah. That was it.
No, that was it?
No. That was Rambo. Wait,
Rambo.
Hey.
Rambo's Pee Wee Herman. No, she does it much better.
Okay, all right. Do Rambo as Pee Wee Herman.
I don't know if I can.
Wait, we have to find
Herman,
the script from Rambo.
Pee Wee Herman in Rambo.
Oh wait. Can we do Rambo and Pee Wee Herman?
You said the magic word.
The magic word.
Isn't that the magic word? The word of the day.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
I have Pee Wee Herman on Blu-ray, but I haven't watched it in a couple of years.
It's really pretty. Like,
it's
his,
really pretty
his,
on Blu-ray.
What is this? His blazer is herringbone.
Oh.
And like, you just think it's gray.
The original, basically what they said, we may have discussed this on the show already, but the Pee Wee Herman suit looks gray on television because basically what they would do is they would take like video and put it on top of video on top of video. And so it would muddle all the colors and all the details. So when they went back, Paul Rubens actually owned all the original video of the show, the original elements that they combined. I don't know how the hell he did that. He's like Lucille Ball, as far as that's concerned. But Lucille Ball, in case you guys, Desi Lu Studios owned all of the original masters to all their shows. So that's why I Love Lucy looks so good, because they wanted to film it on a certain like 35mm, and they said you have to use video, and they refused. Anyway, so he had owned all the original elements, so they recombined them in the computer. So instead of just being a muddled gray suit, it actually shows off the herringbone of the actual suit in the Blu-ray. So. One of the most impressive, like that, and Jaws and Dr. No had a really great transfer that they remastered. So, sorry, go ahead.
And then there's G.I. Joe 2. I'm just kidding. What?
No, G.I. Joe 1, the DVD versus the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's
Rise
so
of Cobra.
Because it's the part where they blow up the
Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower, and so in the non high def version, like it just looks like a big old green puff of smoke.
Right.
But in like the high def version, you can see the little nanobite like things like melting the metal.
Oh.
And it's actually worth watching.
It fills in all the plot holes.
The second
it does not.
The second one was always interesting when they show quote unquote Fort Sumter. At the end,
it doesn't look anything like Fort
Sumter. The road that goes
it
to
is
it,
not Fort Sumter.
And watching that in Charleston and having everybody in the theater laugh at once was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it was so like, just don't call it Fort Sumter.
No.
Just make up something.
Yeah.
But you've called it Fort Sumter, which is very specifically historic.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But like, there's look. There's all kinds of things like that. I don't know if you guys watched Falling Skies, the TV show on TBS about the alien invasion
with Noah
Wiley. Yeah, and in one season, they come to Charleston because it's where the New World headquarters is.
Yeah.
And there's a shot from across, I guess, a river to destroyed Charleston, and it's all skyscrapers. And I'm like, you couldn't like look at a picture of Charleston to see what this looks like. And then they were taking refuge in the new shopping mall that they were building in the center of town that had sub-levels. And I was like, all you got to do is type in sea level Charleston and know that you cannot dig something like
there's
that.
There's a reason why we're called the Low Country.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
so
why?
So, I mean, they were filming in Vancouver, so maybe they just didn't know, but like, do a little research.
Dude,
Canada has Google.
Canada has Google.
Charleston's maybe not.
Canada might not really have the best hockey player.
Exactly.
North Korea doesn't have Google.
Well,
that's about then, North Korea.
And then I enjoy watching Die Hard with a Vengeance and seeing of Charleston
in it. The Charleston City at the end, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But at least that looked like New York.
The random part where they're like in upper New York and it's on Kiowa.
Yeah.
But that's honestly how like White Plains looks.
But it still makes me happy.
That's where he shoots out of the
the
tunnel, out of the
manhole
right?
cover.
Yeah.
But then you get the
Bridge.
The old bridges. The Grayson Pierman. That's when you know you're from Charleston, when you actually know the names of the old Cooper River bridges.
I've seen video of people going over those, and I don't know how you guys did that.
I didn't know.
Scary. Yeah. No, the lanes were like literally this big.
I remember when my best friend in high school got her her license, and we went over the bridge for the first time driving. And I literally look over, and she is closing. She's covering her eyes, and I'm like, what are you doing?
And she's driving?
Yes.
Nice.
I was like,
well, it used to be like, they used to be two ways.
Used to be both ways.
Right, and that's what I was being told at work. They were like, that used to go in each direction.
And how giant the cars were back then, too, right. With the big old boats.
Right.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who lived in Mount Pleasant, so I would drive that every day to go see her. And like at night, in the middle of the night, it's fantastic. No, she didn't live in Canada, where Falling Skies was taped.
Yes.
Full circle. She driving over that, nice listening to Coldplay's first album. Awesome.
Okay.
Parachutes is a good album.
I sat there and I typed out all of the lyrics to it because it did not have the lyrics and I wanted to know.
While you were going over the bridge?
No, probably not. Oh. That would be awkward.
This made me so angry when you would get like you buy an album and there's no lyrics in there. And at that time, we did not have the internet.
Yep.
So there was one song, I can't remember. There's quite a few songs where I did not understand the lyrics at all. And I would like try to play it over and over again and be like, what is he saying? What is he saying?
The days when you could rewind it.
Yeah.
Play,
trying to figure out.
Rewind it.
I think there's one song.
Tell us about 8 tracks, Chris.
There was one song in the song.
It was a superior format.
Really? You think?
Oh, yeah.
To audio tape? It did have a better fidelity to it. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't quite as good as records were, I don't think.
No. And like it's that old thing of like beta versus VHS. Beta is actually has a better picture.
We had beta
and
for
which
a long,
is
long
why,
time.
But there are certain like news outlets that still do. Like,
really?
It's still a viable format.
I have a copy of Sister Act 2 sitting on top of my toilet right now.
On your toilet?
On beta. No, I moved it, didn't I? It's in my bathroom.
I think you moved it in your closet now.
What?
No, did I?
Why do you have movies in your bathroom?
In the closet.
Because
that's
I need
where
space.
All of his
I have
movies
a lot
are.
Of movies, dude. Wait, have you been to the house before?
A couple times.
And seen the movie collection? You've seen the movie collection.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them are in the bathroom.
All the Blu-rays are there
I mean,
there
he
now.
Doesn't have any... I mean, he has so... It's so much. I mean, he had to actually... Before you even transferred all your DVDs into just the books now, I mean, it was
like,
bonkers.
Yeah, just stacks of DVDs. Like, thousands, literally, of DVDs.
Yeah.
And then I basically, like, we booked them all. So that took up, like, you know...
You never made the switch to Blu-rays?
Because you're like Pokemon.
Oh, now his Blu-rays are taking up the space where the DVDs are.
That's not that bad, but it's
so
close.
So do you have to have it in every format?
No.
If you have something in DVD,
if
he replaces it.
It's whatever the best format that I can have is, because I don't have a 4K TV or a 4K Blu-ray player, so there's no point in that.
But if he replaces something that he has on DVD with a Blu-ray, then he'll give the DVD to John.
Yeah.
Which John started figuring that out and then started
John.
Actually buying Brandon Blu-rays of the movies he wanted on DVD so he could get them.
Nice.
John's funny.
He's a clever one.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to condense John's CDs, and he took like, so this is really funny. John basically brought me a stack of CDs. He's like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to listen to these anymore. So if you want them, you're more than welcome to
and
them.
And it was my favorite part was the Madonna one. He literally just bought
it. No, he didn't bring me that one.
I thought it was. No, I thought that was.
No, they just
had he saw one with a Madonna and a cowboy hat, and he thought it was a country artist, so he bought it. He
thought it was Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He did think it was Dolly Parton. Nice. So he brought me these CDs, and then I'm like, oh, cool, John. You don't want this country CD or this Barbra Streisand CD or this CD? And he's like, oh, yeah, I do. I do want. So he had brought me like 5 or 6 CDs, and he took 3 or 4 of them back.
So Brendan ended up with 1.
So I ended up with 2 CDs.
Nice.
Two.
Yeah, an old-timey one, turn-of-the-century music, done by Green Hill Music, which everyone knows them, and like some compilation disc stuff. It's weird. Weird.
I mean, I'm sure you find it weird that I don't listen to music, so...
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really listen to music. I do and I don't. I guess I do. I do all the time. Never mind.
You're such a liar.
Yeah, he's kind of, I mean, he's spoiled now because with his Alexas and stuff, like, you just...
Whatever comes to mind is what comes to mind. I'll still sit down with an album.
Yeah, but Chris won't do that. Chris just listens to podcasts.
That's right.
All the time.
I listen to podcasts too a lot now.
3 hours up to Charlotte, 3 hours back down, nothing but podcasts.
Well, and he'll do podcasts.
Can we rename that this? Can we rename this? Nothing but podcasts.
No.
Dance Monkey Dance.
That can be the title of the thing.
Nothing but podcasts. Bitches.
Bitches.
Sure to say bitch a lot.
I actually need to figure out to do podcasts at work now because I feel like it's just easier to...
It moves your day along.
It does. Because I've been streaming like TV shows that I'm rewatching, so I don't have to have all my concentration on it. Like I did The Office and doing Parks and Rec, but like... Now it's just like I wanted to listen to a few how did this get made, you know? Just
I watch porn at work all the time.
Do that, but I feel like listening to something, because I used to have a radio that I would just let play, but now we moved spaces and my radio doesn't work. I don't know what's with the new building, but I cannot get a radio to work at all. Right. And like I'm tired of draining my phone for just YouTube, but
I mean,
so now it's like I want to make it more productive by like books on tape and all that other stuff.
Right. I mean, one of the things that why I started to go away from music is when I lost my job in Arkansas and I wound up working at a furniture factory at night. It was like I can listen to music, but that I know they're like 5 minutes a piece.
That's the same reason I started.
And it, like you just go through a whole bunch of them and you know, like, all right, 5 minutes has passed. 5 minutes has passed. When I listen to a podcast, it's an hour, and normally I'm listening to it and I'm not really paying attention. All of a sudden it's over. Bam. An hour's gone. I was like, all right,
that's why I started watching the way. That's why I like started listening to movies at work. You know, things.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Hey.
Who knew?
We're now trying to option a screenplay. So,
I'm glad that worked out for you.
I am too.
But you were
it was getting to the point where I'm like, maybe I'm not making all the right moves.
You're the stuff of legend at work.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, really?
Yeah.
They still, well.
Well, because now in like new hire orientation, they're like, you don't want to like stream anything on your computer. People got fired for that.
So fucking stupid.
It was. It truly was.
Because I listen, like most of the stuff that I listen to is like The Daily Show and things like that, like news programming or entertainment programming.
My thing is, as long as you were showing that you were productive,
I worked 65 hours a week.
It really didn't matter. Like that's just retarded. That's just nitpicking.
Mm-hmm.
But
they were just looking for. Well, my salary was kind of high too. So.
Wow.
So, you know, they were trying to get rid of salaries at that point.
And well, I know, but...
I still love you.
You are the stuff of legends.
That's good. Well, I also was the stuff of legend. I'll tell you a story offline that they mentioned me on calls. Oh. They're like, this person would have gotten it done. Like, I've got a finger for you. Figure out which one. So Joss Whedon isn't doing the Batgirl movie anymore.
Nope.
To take a hard right turn.
Yes. Silly audience. Segways are for kids. Yes, he's stepping down because he can't figure out the story, whatever the fuck that means.
I think it's, shit, we fucked up and did Justice League a disservice.
So
I like Justice League, though.
Yeah, so but it was Avengers. He recycled his own stuff.
Yeah.
But he was given what he had to work with was, I mean, there's all kinds of stories now about Zach might have actually been fired off of Justice League, and they used the death of his daughter as a cop out.
Coy, yeah.
Which really is fucking stupid. Like, don't use that. That's just the wrong way to do it. if you want to fire him, just come out and say he wasn't in, going in the direction, and we're going to try to save this.
Four movies in, screw you, double down.
Yes, and the whole thing with how they only released it in November because the Warner Brothers executives wanted to make
sure
that they got
true?
There. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you do think that's true?
Yeah, they demanded that the movie come out in November, and it be 2 hours so they could stick as many showings in a day as they could, simply because they wanted their bonuses. It was bound to fail.
Yeah.
There's no way that you recover from that. There's no way that you make a good movie like that. And not being able to reach...
I think they did make a good movie, at best a good movie.
It's fun. It's a fun movie,
yeah.
Which I appreciate. And when...
They might as well start at some point in time, because there were five movies before that, not so much fun.
Wow.
Except for maybe Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the way all that shit came down, like, they couldn't... You can't come up with some kind of thing to get Henry Cavill to shave his mustache.
Did you read all that stuff?
Yeah.
You read all... So basically, like, to kind of fill you guys in the listening audience, if you guys... Although you guys are probably interested. Basically, they're like, we'll pay to have his mustache digitally inserted into the film.
Yeah.
And they're like, because it's much easier to do that than it is to do that. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. And so basically they're like, okay, well, we'll pay for the makeup. We'll have a special makeup done. We'll design the makeup before he even shaves his mustache. They're like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Wait, who, though?
Henry Cavill.
Paramount
Studios was doing Mission Impossible
6.
Fallout?
Yes, Fallout.
Fallout.
So which studio was asking which? I'm sorry.
Warner Brothers was asking Paramount for that. For they needed to bring Henry Cavill back for reshoots
right.
on Justice League. And they said... You can have him, but he can't shave his mustache. And Warner Brothers was trying to jump through hoops so that they wouldn't have the added expense of trying to digitally remove a mustache. And,
which is a massive expense.
And it's
looks horrible.
A terrible result.
Well, the reshoots were the most expensive reshoots of all time, clocking in somewhere between $25 and $30 million.
So it was
and most
Paramount
of the reshoots were wasted.
It was Paramount.
Really?
That was...
Yeah.
They were the ones that weren't budging.
Yes, right. Paramount was being complete dicks and saying,
yeah,
no,
gotcha.
You can have him, but he's got to look the same way.
Which, as long as Mission Impossible Fallout's good, I really don't give a shit.
Well,
they want to be dicks
that's
about
still
it.
Still a lot of money for them to have to.
So when they did the reshoots, all these pictures of sets came out of, like, Nazi emblems and things that they shot that didn't wind up in the final film. So even those reshoots were wasted. Because they just started to chop the movie down to get it to 2 hours.
Jesus.
And now it's coming out that Zack Snyder actually completed a version that
I don't
they
know
just
if that's
needed.
True.
Well, the guy that was working on the color correction said that they were in. Now it's going to get real heady for people, but they were in. They were about to work on the digital intermediate, and the only way you get a digital intermediate is if the picture is locked.
Jeez,
so it was already to a point where they were like, we're good with this. And then they just started to chop it down.
So do you think that there is... Do you think there's any point in salvaging this cinematic unit? Because I like everything in it. Like, I liked all of the Justice League except for Cyborg, which I don't feel is that actor's fault. Ray Fisher? Or is that actually just Cyborg's name? That's just Cyborg's character's name.
I think that's the actor.
That's the character's name. That's not the actor.
I don't know.
Ray Fisher is Cyborg. So I like all of the actors. I like
Cyborg
all five.
Cyborg is Ray Fisher.
Yeah. Yeah. I like you know, Diana Prince, Wonder Woman. I like, you know, Wayne.
I feel like they wasted Cyborg's character. They just didn't do him right.
He was a huge part of the original movie.
Well,
and he got cut. Gutted.
And it's not, the actor was great, but they just really locked him.
People who say that they've seen the first couple of cuts of the film say that Cyborg was way more prevalent. And I don't know what the reasoning was, but now that Black Panther has done so well, they're probably kicking themselves in the ass that they didn't have a strong black character to kind of guide the Justice League.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
sure.
Well,
you almost single-handedly with that film. Well, not single-handedly, cause you had four before that, have killed that universe.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, Black Panther made in, like, 5 days the entire budget, or the entire 90-day run of Justice League.
I think at this point, what I've read is besides the Justice League movies, the standalone movies aren't going to really tie into the universe.
It's so dumb.
But that might be the best thing for them.
Well, that's where they should have started.
Because then they can at least go and tell good stories and not have to worry about where it fits into the architecture of the universe.
But then I'll argue at this point with you is that Man of Steel. Well, are you falling asleep? No. Okay. I know I'm boring. The like Man of Steel wasn't a great movie. Like
I enjoyed Man of Steel.
I enjoyed it, but I didn't like. There are a lot of issues I know you've discussed. We've discussed on the show together, like you know the Zod thing, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a bad movie. It's just not a good movie. If that makes any sense, it's not a great movie. I should say, it just kind of falls into like okay, great. You know, I feel no more, no less about that movie than I do Brandon Routh's version.
Okay,
Wonder Woman. Feels like it's a great movie, but is it like Black Panther? You said that you didn't particularly enjoy. Is that correct? I liked it okay.
Okay,
but I feel like it being the first of its echelon, I should say, because you've got Blade and Catwoman.
Right.
Let's not forget Catwoman. You've got these characters that are black superheroes. But that is the first character of its style and type inside of the Marvel MCU, et cetera, right. et cetera, or the MCU in general. And I think it works well enough. I'm curious to see part two.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it, but it was like the same way with Wonder Woman. Is like you have that type of. Like weight on your shoulders of the type of movie that it needs to be, and I enjoyed it, but I wanted more from both of them. Yeah. I wanted them to be a higher level because what you have with the Captain Americas, they keep getting better and better and better and knocking it out of the park, and that's what I expected. I wanted Black Panther to knock it out of the park on like Captain America level,
and it is single
and
baseball.
And so like that I mean, for me, like if you want to go with black characters, I mean, Luke Cage was amazing. I thought the Luke Cage series was fantastic, and that's what I wanted Black Panther to be. And it was good. It was great, even. But I wanted fantastic.
I thought half of Luke Cage was okay.
I took chances, dude.
When they get rid of Cottonmouth, or is it Cottonmouth?
Yeah, Cottonmouth.
Yeah, Cottonmouth.
In the first half, I didn't think that the bad guy that replaced him. I thought it was way too over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy who can take bullets.
Well, yeah, I know.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, for Black Panther, I liked the film. I just, from all the hype that it had, I was like, this is going to be amazing. And two-thirds of the way, I kept going, when is it going to be amazing?
Yeah. Well, everybody's like, the first half is a mess, and the special effects, and I'm like, you know.
Last half is a mess, like special effects-wise. That giant outdoor fight.
Oh, you're talking about the rhino?
With the rhinos and the ragdoll, people being hit out of the way. Spoiler. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, there were issues that I had with that.
Well, you see the rhinos.
And the South Korea, that was the issue, because rhinos are real. So
well, and they showed so much in the trailers of that would have been amazing moments, that like him jumping off the car and running on the side of the building and then landing on the car and pulling the tire off. Like, that would have been amazing to see without any warning of like anything. You didn't know it was coming.
So
they did that thing where they spoil shit they in the trailers, in the and trailers. It's like
I'll counter that with this: it's an unknown commodity, so
you have to build it up.
Yeah, and like I think they can do that with next Black Panther. Something that was done that I thought was going to be done, and I wished was done, was The Last Jedi. If Disney had just gone, hey, by the way, Last Jedi's out, bitch, and just like not done trailers or anything like that, just done a title just card, and then like released the movie, nothing.
Still wouldn't have alleviated my disappointment.
Really?
But, oh, yeah.
I thought it was one of the best Star Wars
movies. No. Not to me.
Bullshit. I hate it.
Not to me.
No.
We can talk about this. I mean...
Well, let's stick with Black Panther first and come back to Star Wars, because I'm curious. But that's... that. So, to step back again from Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, the shit show that movie
was.
Well,
Suicide Squad was just a mess.
They've all just been, at best, okay...
Right.
I'd still rather watch Suicide Squad over Man of Steel, though.
No. I disagree.
I'm angry because like you announce Michael Shannon, who I friggin', I love that man.
Right.
So when they announced him as Zod, I was like, yes, I was on board. And then I feel like they wasted it. And it was just like, there's like Mandarin, I felt like was wasted. Ben Kingsley as Mandarin was wasted because I love him so much. When they said, I felt he fit that character perfectly when they announced it. And I felt like it kind of petered out too.
The lie that was the Mandarin just bothers the shit out of me.
It bothers everybody.
You can't do that.
Well, it's such a great, it's like going, Zod's not the real Zod. It's like, you know,
right.
It's like saying that any major, it's like going, oh, that's not the real Joker.
Right.
You just can't do that. And then, you know, that is Iron Man's main villain.
And I think they've learned their lesson.
I thought they would have learned it with Iron Man 2.
Wow.
Yeah, that was upsetting.
But that one
too.
Always gets better to me. I don't know why.
The third one exists, I feel like. Because the first one was so friggin' good, and you're just like, yeah. And then two happens, and you're like, okay. And then three happens, and I'm like, I'm even more angry now. And so, like, that's like, Captain America is
I think,
so
yeah,
good.
I think Winter Soldier.
Better.
Right.
Winter Soldier is my favorite of all the Marvel movies, just period at this point in time. Yeah. But I feel like I think Winter Soldier is what kind of solidified what they needed to do.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, we can make this type of movie. I don't think without Winter Soldier you have Ant-Man, for better or for worse.
I love Ant-Man, but I don't think it's fantastic, but I just love Ant-Man.
It's a simple story that they needed to tell.
And
fantastic characters.
Paul Rudd, which I'm on board.
So going back to Black Panther.
Yeah.
I had a discussion with one of the guys at work, Craig, who happens to be African-American. And he loved the film. He bought into all the hype. And I said, okay, you need to explain it to me.
That's my stomach.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
You all right?
I thought it was the air conditioning.
Yeah, I'm fine. No, it's my stomach.
So I said, explain to me what you found so appealing. And basically he said, when you grow up, he said something really weird that he really identified with Killmonger.
Huh.
And I said, really?
That sucks. And is awesome.
And he said, because he started with nothing. He was abandoned. He had to crawl his way up to the top and become king.
Yeah.
And he said, most of the black community feels that way. Most of the black community starts out with nothing. And if you want something, you have to claw your way up and work for it.
Yeah,
which is why the black community has like grabbed onto this with all their might and said, this is the greatest thing ever.
And that's why I think Wonder Woman worked on that same level.
So like me, the white kid who grew up in New Jersey in a middle class family can't identify with any of those characters because I don't know that struggle where most black people do. And so like I'm glad it's there. I'm glad that there's something that they can identify with. But I also feel like if you had said something negative going into it, like if there had been any kind of reporter who said it's a okay movie, it's nothing special, they would have been like just jumped on because.
Well, the same thing happened with Wonder Woman.
There's some politicalness there that just can't cross.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Wonder Woman. I mean. Yeah. Again, I think they're both important movies that need to be done because, I mean, you have women who have a strong female character that is not just, you know, I mean, she's physically strong, she's smart, she's everything. And then you have the history of, you know, the Wonder Woman comics, but the fact is that you just want to see it to be more than it is. It's important, both of them are very important, but I wanted them to hit it. I wanted to hit a home run.
I didn't want them to make Captain America 3.
Like, I wanted more from it, but I feel like both movies are important and they are good movies as they are face value. I just wanted it to be more.
Right, and that's how I feel too.
I think it's funny though that the DC universe is as shit as it can be at times. They have the same exact problem that the MCU has as far as villains go. You know, Killmonger was a pretty good villain. I wish the Claw was a little bit more featured, so to speak.
Yeah.
I thought Daniel Brühl as not Mortal, from Civil War. I thought the bad guy from Civil War.
Zemo,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Daniel Brühl's the actor, sorry. Mm-hmm. Zemo, I thought he was an excellent villain. I was like, that's what you need more of.
Right.
And he should, that's how I felt about Hydra. Like, Hydra was so great as a backdrop for villains that it doesn't matter who you plug in there. You don't know who's bad and who's good.
Right.
And with the Skrulls coming up, I think that will add an extra layer onto the MCU. But it's, I think that the lead and the villain should be interesting, at least inside of the film. And I don't think that...
And that was one of the struggles with Wonder Woman. I felt the
villain... Ares, yeah.
I felt the villain was very weak. And I was just like, you want this badass, you know, female heroine to be able to go toe-to-toe with a really big bad.
Right.
And that's what
whether female or male.
Male or female. You want them to... Like, you want their, like... their evil counterpart to be as big as them, and for them that the defeat is that much more sweeter.
Right.
And so it's just that I felt cheated on that part with Wonder Woman. Is just it kind of fell flat for me on that.
And that they've done it every single time.
And
with Zod with the Enchantress.
See, I don't think they even knew what to Ares, do with Enchantress as a character anyway.
Doomsday, Lex Luthor, they're all losers.
Shat themselves.
The problem with Suicide Squad is they needed to make Joker the bad guy.
Exactly.
It didn't have to be this big citywide massacre thing going on with these super, like the portal in the sky thing that they always
do.
You
have to collect your team.
Yeah, it could have been... Joker has the city under siege. Batman's not around for some reason. Who do we get? And then you have the conflict of Harley being forced to go against the Joker.
Yeah.
And it just makes it infinitely better, like, storytelling. But instead they went this other route and you were like, oh, okay.
They didn't do whatever. They didn't hit all the right notes the Green Lantern movie with Parallax hit.
Oh, God.
I just bought a copy of that.
I am happy.
Why?
Because it was $3 and it was
$4.
I'm actually happy that, like, a lot of these guys have been able to redeem themselves with better characters.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, even Michael B. Jordan.
Evans.
Poor Michael B. Jordan was also, you know, in the Fantastic Four as well. So, like, you get...
It's the Human Torch thing.
It's a Human Torch thing.
And Chris Evans went through seven comic book movies before he got to it. I think Ryan Reynolds only went through six before he got to his Deadpool. The Runaways, Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four 2, like there were a couple others.
Runaways.
Well, Chris Evans was also in Scott Pilgrim, but that wasn't bad.
He was with the guy that plays Lucille's handler.
No, that's The Losers.
The Losers. The Runaways is...
The Losers is an amazing film.
Really?
I love The Losers.
I liked it too. But it's... I relate it to the A-Team for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's an A-Team ripoff.
Yeah.
Completely, but it's so much fun.
I love
there's so much fun in that film.
Movie.
Do you? Where they're in the tank and they can fire the thing.
Love it. Love it. Okay. It's one of those movies where I'm like, fuck you, it's awesome. Like, oh, you don't think it's good? That's right, because it's fucking awesome.
Okay.
I just love that movie. Every time I watch that movie, I can watch it anytime.
The actor that plays...
Liam Neeson.
No.
Bradley
Liam Neeson's, sorry.
No, the other one.
B.A. Baracus.
The other one.
Oh, Charlton Copley.
Murdoch?
Yeah.
Charlton Murdoch?
Yeah, no, I couldn't remember the character's name.
The guy from District 9.
We never did that Hardcore Henry thing.
No, we didn't.
I love him.
Can we do that?
I love that actor. Like, he's just... I think the reason why... I mean, I didn't really grow up on the level of watching A-Team like Brandon did. I mean, I just watched it here and there, and it was like, oh, the guy that's in Breakfast at Tiffany's is leading a gang.
Right.
George
but,
Papard.
Yeah, I know, George Papard. But
you can't buy his cigars. Try to find them. They don't make them. He like had them specially made in New York City and flown them down, and the guy who he's dead now. Shit, I can't get those cigars.
That's like his lifelong dream is to be living like the A-Team.
No, I in no way want to live like the A-Team.
He does not want to be.
I just
want to
be as cool as George Papard.
That again, sorry, that actor, he made it for me.
Charlton Copley.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I understand. It's South Africa. Fuck him.
There's a handle. Anyway, I just love him.
He's great in Elysium, too. He's like the only good part of Elysium.
I liked him in Chappie, too.
Oh, my God.
Huh?
I didn't like Elysium. No.
Yeah, but he was the best
District
part.
District 9 is a bonkers movie.
Yeah.
You just go in it and you're like, why isn't anybody watching this movie at that level?
I feel like that's another thing of like Neil Blomkamp coming up and saying, I've got this amazing movie, and everybody goes, this is great. Let's give you twice the budget. And then the studio steps in, Elysium. And you get Elysium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you watch the Oates Studio stuff that Neil Blomkamp does on YouTube? Mm-mm. Look it up. They're amazing. And they get all kinds of, like, Sigourney Weaver's in the first one. And, like, he's got
actually caused them to actually talk about Aliens 4.
So all the Oates Studio stuff is him just fucking around with ideas. And they're amazing. And you're like, why isn't this being made into a movie? And it's just the studios, as soon as you get that level, they're just like, we're in control of everything.
Well, you have to be either at a certain level or make it for cheap.
Yeah.
Which is where Hardcore Henry kind of came in.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I took...
The run and gun style of filmmaking.
Oh, God. I took it. I that movie is the worst idea for me. I get really, really nauseous.
Which one are you talking about?
Hardcore Henry. The moment I see the previews, I'm like, I cannot see this in the theater. I'm going to physically die.
First person.
Because it was bad. I didn't know that I had that until I watched Paranormal Activity
in Florida. She leaves the theater twice to go, like, she's like, I can't take it.
Those movies get me. Like, during Black Panther, I can't. IMAX gets me too.
Yeah, I can't go to IMAX movies.
During Black Panther, I have Kylie poking me. I'm like, I'm not asleep. I just can't watch it right now.
Oh, because I was telling her to poke
me. Because I was like, I cannot walk out of this movie right now. I'm in the middle of everybody in recliners. I cannot walk out of this movie. So like, I had to just keep closing my eyes during that. So I will love that movie probably a little bit more when I actually can physically watch it. But yeah, Hardcore Henry. I told Brandon, I was like, I can't watch this movie. I'm not gonna. And we went. And I almost died in that movie.
On a side note, those recliners are the best way to ever watch a movie.
Well, the best ones are in the IMAX.
Nope.
Love those.
Nope, the IMAX. The ones in the regular ones, I can't sit in them.
Really?
I can't because...
Take a shot.
What did you do?
I was trying to scratch my knee. I don't even know how I got that high.
I thought you were trying scratching to scratch your ear.
Do you know where your knee is?
Maybe I did.
Near?
No, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to scratch something. And then I hit this thing.
What were you trying to scratch?
And then it went into the microphone.
Maybe you were coming from your knee to your ear.
The IMAX ones are a little bit more are a lot more comfortable than the ones in the regular seats.
Really? Because I love the regular ones.
Well, because I don't like being reclined the whole entire time. So like with the IMAX, I can sit up and actually be comfortable, and my feet can touch. And I'm not a short person.
Like if you're sitting straight up in those regular ones.
Well, yeah, got, the, like, and the IMAX are yeah,
why? You couldn't have spent 12 extra cents to get it to go there and start?
Yeah, so like when we were watching Early Man, I had to sit up, and I have to actually like prop myself on the edge because I can almost barely touch the floor.
Okay.
And so the IMAX ones are a lot easier. They're a little bit lower.
Okay.
I had to fix Kristen's Black Panther chair. It was unplugged.
It was broken.
And Kristen's like, it's broken. And I'm like... What? And she's like, the light's not on. And I'm like, it's just unplugged, dude. Give me like 12 seconds
like
to fiddle with this.
Recline.
I was actually, I mean, and I'm okay with those sitting, so not reclining it. Those, but the other ones, the regular ones, you have to be reclined in order to be comfortable because they were like, screw you, you have to recline.
Yeah,
because
you have to put your legs all the way up before you get it to recline at
it's
all.
Awful. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. I hate it so much with a fiery passion, Chris.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
Did we ever tell you about the 4DX experience in Orlando?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you been there?
No, I've read about it. I've seen stuff.
It's amazeballs. Yeah. I don't know if it's worth like $20.
I don't know. Like, I don't want my seat to move when I'm watching a movie.
It was so much fun during Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, with the water and the poking.
I would have been dead too.
Yeah,
if I was
I don't,
there.
Yeah, I don't know dead. If I would have been able to handle that.
I would have died.
Well, I was like you know, they've got all the effects. Have we talked about this on the podcast?
Maybe.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. You guys will listen to it again because you guys are marvelous people. You can email us at info@dancemonkeydancepodcast.com.
Wrong.
Son of a bitch. Anyway.
One of these days you'll be a real boy.
Yeah. what was I saying? Okay,
you're
so on the sign,
the
they show the effects. They're like, and it's like rain, or like the water drop, and
we
then they show motion, and then anyway. So it had everything inside of Pirates of the Caribbean except for snow.
Okay.
So I want to see a Pirates of the Caribbean
with snow
movie set in snow.
Okay.
Only if it's in July.
So Wonder Woman.
No, Black Panther.
Black Panther and Wonder Woman should do a team up movie.
All right.
Well, I thought it was a good origin.
Not want to see 4D though.
I don't know. Like most of them, actually. It would have been... I'm kind of torn on it.
Oh, I think it would have been amazing in 4DX.
You have your arm torn off in real...
in real time.
I think Phantom Thread would have been really bad.
Phantom Thread would have been amazing. Just as they're sewing, you feel them going... Did you see... You haven't seen any Oscar-nominated films because you hate...
What?
Hate fun movies. You saw The Shape of Water, probably.
No, I have not.
That's right up your alley, dude.
I know. That's your jam. I just haven't had the opportunity.
I thought that and Lady Bird were going to be the two movies that you saw.
He knows that the tentacle dildos exist from it.
There are tentacle dildos.
Yes, we had that conversation.
Three billboards would be horrible.
On a chat.
On our chat.
Racism
the
in 4D.
The audience isn't privy, but now they are.
Detroit would have been horrible in 4D.
Detroit, every time when someone got shot.
All right, let's talk about another horrible movie.
Which one?
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Okay, so what did you not like about this movie? I'm assuming you've had this discussion on the show.
Okay,
I'm
assuming
you've dedicated an entire show to this.
So
I'm sorry, I'm going through puberty right now.
What it boils down to is this Star Wars was not made for my generation.
Okay.
It was made exactly for your generation.
The people who saw the first three in the theater,
yeah,
this was not for those people.
I disagree wholly.
Okay. There are so many stupid things that happen in this movie.
Less stupid things that happen in other movies.
Okay, so spoiler warning for the 4-month-old movie, but...
Hey, 30 years. Jaws gets killed at the end of Jaws. Go ahead.
So I can point to a multitude of stupidness in this movie that makes it so I can't ever appreciate this movie the way that I want
shocked.
To. So things like the slow-ass moving bombers with the... with being able to open the bomb bay doors and have people being able to breathe while they're dropping.
They had a force field, but continue.
Did they? Really?
They did.
Okay.
They dropped the bomb. They closed the bomb bay door and then continue.
So, okay. Matter. So I'll say something. You try to defend it.
Yeah. No, I
Super Leia.
That pissed me off.
Okay. That was one. Yes, that made me mad.
I don't know.
Made
why.
Me super the, happy. I got to see her face. That made me super mad.
What an incredible way for her to go out.
Yeah.
Of like, she's on the bridge of the ship. Her son decides he's not going to kill her. Mm-hmm. The other two TIE fighters come in and blow the shit out of the mm-hmm. ship. She gets sucked out and dies. They have to cut around whatever else they do for the rest of the movie. But it's a fantastic way for her to go out.
It was too much to cut around. I understand.
And then they bring her back. And I'm like, everybody in my theater went, what the fuck? Like, yeah. Like verbally, out loud. Yeah. It was like, what? Huh?
I was a little bit weirded out by that.
The fleet of Star Destroyers that can't catch a rebel ship that's running out of gas.
I don't have an issue with that.
There's all kinds of things in there that I'm just like, the milking of the...
Oh, that was weird. Oh, that was super weird. I did not like
the,
that.
The milking of the...
The sea creatures down by the
sea creature.
It's so how
that,
he lives.
That he can get
it's
his green milk.
It was weird.
He gets his milk and then he fishes. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but they didn't have to show all that. Like, who cares?
Because okay, well, they didn't have to show a lot of shit in like the Dewback. Well, I guess the Dewbacks weren't in the original movie, or they were, and they were much less technologically advanced.
Sure.
Anyway, you know they should. It's setting. It's
that's
all setting.
Not setting. That's
yeah. Okay.
Just
well,
awkward.
then, I mean, all the shit that happens on Dagobah, it's unnecessary.
There's one or two cool things that happen in that movie, and the rest of it's just kind of a wash. All the Canto Bite stuff.
Canto Bites.
The planet where they go with the casino.
I was
Benicio del Toro's character is wasted.
Okay, so that's
Captain Phasma's wasted.
That's
Captain
Phasma. Well, that's the whole thing is like you don't. This is how I feel about
Snoke
this.
Is wasted.
Well, I feel like they're just setting it up for another movie.
I feel that's movie. That's okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Leo Getz, let's go.
Joe
yeah. Okay. 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 But yeah. Thank you. Microphone's falling. Okay, so...
Okay.
Well, no, the microphone fell. Do you think you have people who drink? Email us at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com.
Very good.
Yeah! If you drink. I probably just blew
my ear out.
Yeah, I apologize about that.
And the listening audience.
I'll have to turn that down in the mix.
I'm so sorry about that. I apologize about that.
Eardrums
we're talking about crappy Star Wars.
So the casino scene, I would wholly agree with you that that is not for your generation, that was more of a connection to the what is that, Coruscant kind of connection. It felt like Coruscant.
It's there just to introduce the stupid kid with the force powers.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, then he maybe become important.
And Rose being like, I grew up in a place like this. I was like, oh, okay. We don't need another whiny-ass character.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of whiny-ass characters in Star Wars. But I feel like, as far as all the information that you're talking about with Snoke and all of it being wasted, that's the whole thing about, I think that's kind of one of those things where you go, okay, well, this is more real life. This is more... In this fantasy movie, these things kind of things would happen where you don't get all the information on the character and they're instantaneously killed off, or you know, or this would happen without all the other information. Like Phantasma, I was like, okay, cool, Phantasma's dead.
Phasma,
sorry, Phantasma, it's her sister. But no, I feel like that's I want to know more about those characters, but if I don't know, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like you've set up a whole bunch of things, but half the shit in the first movie. Force Awakens, is that
uh-huh.
The Force Awakens was just set up to pay off in this movie, and when they didn't pay off, people just got pissed off at it.
But don't set it like Star Wars is very much a set up and pay off type group of trilogies.
Ask Darth Maul about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about don't fucking bring up Clone Wars or
but,
whatever.
That okay, but here's the thing with the prequels, and something that a lot of people miss is that when George Lucas made those, he made it. Phantom kids. Menace is yeah. strictly for a kid. That's why Jar Jar's in it. That's why you got like main character that's a kid yeah. that they can relate to. And all the older generation, my generation, went, fuck you, that's not Star Wars.
Yeah.
And George Lucas immediately had the knee-jerk reaction and tried to make it darker. Make it a kid's movie.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But my problem is that...
But make it a good kid's movie,
The Force Awakens and Last The Jedi. Last Jedi feel like... They almost feel like fan films. They almost feel like
they do.
Somebody didn't know exactly what to do, so they're writing around what they think is supposed to happen.
I would agree about like The Force Awakens. That's all it felt like. Nothing felt like it needed to happen in that movie, in The Force Awakens. Last Jedi felt like just was the movie where it's like, I don't know. I don't want you to figure out where you're going next. Because that's kind of how I felt about Empire when I first saw it. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going
but
to happen.
But this is no Empire.
No, it's...
There's no...
That's no moon.
That's right.
But, you know, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's this generation... It's this third generation's Empire. So I'm curious to know how the people who grew up watching Phantom Menace in, like, 99 are now teenagers feel about that. Because...
I don't know.
Because when this... But there's a bigger time gap there.
But, I mean... For me, what I've had to do, and I've talked to other people my age that are Star Wars fans that didn't like the movie.
No, there are tons of people.
And we have all come to the conclusion that these are not for us. I will go see all the other Star Wars films that come out.
Yeah.
I will put my money down, but the bar is so low now of like,
oh man,
like these are not for me. I'm going to go in and I'm just going to watch them for what they are. And I'm going to have to be okay with that.
What about Rogue One?
I loved Rogue One. Okay. I thought Rogue One told a good story. It was compact. Whatever they set up kind of paid off. There were problems with the re-edits and things like that, but I enjoyed that much more, and I think it's because it's right on the heels of the movies I grew up with.
I watched a shit Tony Gilroy film. What was this movie? Dan Gilroy, sorry. Oh, Roman J. Israel.
Okay.
Esquire. I watched that movie, and it's a fantastically performed film.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty well written, and then the last like 5 minutes of the movie just completely undermine every single thing about it.
Hmm.
So,
I mean, my biggest problem with Rogue One coming out of the theater that first time was that I felt like I didn't see the movie that they had advertised because they didn't put any of the new reshoot stuff into the new trailers. No. It was all the stuff that they had cut out.
Which and I kind of like and I kind of hate all at the same time.
Well, I hated that because I felt like I wanted to see them running on the beach and I wanted to see certain things that had happened, but it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I felt lied to. But
Well, there's so many times that we complain about. I mean, what I honestly want to see is more of the 1940s style trailer where they're, you know, it's just writing up on the screen that goes, "It's dazzling," says, you know, sort of Variety. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, those kind of movies where they actually film a trailer. Like the original trailer for Citizen Kane has no footage from the actual film itself. It's just like, oh, you know, this person thinks Charles Foster Kane is cool. You know, this person hates Charles Foster Kane. And there's no actual footage of the film in there.
Right.
And that you don't need to do that with Star Wars anymore. Everybody knows what Star Wars movies.
Well, I almost felt like they had waited for so long for the Solo stuff that they should have just done that. It should have just been the black with the stars and have it come up and say Solo, a Star Wars story, and the date.
Yeah.
And they just could have left it like that and just been like, come see the film.
Well, everybody was going bonkers over that movie, and I'm like, guys, it's directed by Ron Howard. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's had to piece it together from...
I know, that's a nightmare.
8 months of shooting that they did prior.
It's a freaking nightmare. And he has to... He has sole credit, so that means that he actually has to have shot 60% of
They
that
reshot
film.
80%.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. And like in 2 months.
Yeah.
From 9 months before that.
Yeah, I mean, he set it up and shot it. Just
there were characters that no longer had... that no longer exist in that film anymore.
They had to recast a bunch of people.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's freaking insane. I'm curious to know how that one's going to come out. I'm always curious about the Star Wars movie. I was more impressed with The Last Jedi than you were, because as a fan of Star Wars, but not a super fan of Star Wars, I was in for the kind of the ride and the experience. Mm. So I kind of appreciated that they kind of did some weird shit.
I will say I liked it better the second time I saw it, just because I had already been disappointed.
Yeah.
And I could just watch the movie for what it was.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it a little more, but there were points where I was just like, I can't.
I thought Luke was kind of badass in that movie. I thought that was an excellent way to do it, man. It again, like, immediately defied expectations, because I complained so hard about the first one being so much of the same. Like, I appreciate, like, it was a New Hope, just done with newer effects.
Right.
And so when Luke, at the beginning, spoiler alert, takes this lightsaber and just kind of goes, you know, fuck it. And then, like, tosses it off. I was
right.
Like, cool. I'm okay with that. Because that sets my expectations for this movie, that anything that can that can happen will happen.
Well, I just think it could have been better.
That's probably true. But I think that's, of all the Star Wars outside of the first two, outside of New Hope and then Empire, I think that's pretty much true of all of them. I appreciate the Nub Nub Dance.
Now that they cut that out.
Yeah.
Fucking George Lucas.
You met him. He's your hero.
Well,
you said he was your hero.
He's.
Did you shake? Did your hand shake when you met him?
No, not at all.
Huh. You got him to sign an American Graffiti poster?
Yes.
He kind of went, hey, you look like me, kid.
It was a completely different situation of him asking direct questions of a place where I was working. And me being
that place? What's the address?
I can't tell you.
No, I'm just messing around.
Me being the one with the information and him talking directly to me.
Home Depot?
Yes.
I need to build a shelf.
Here's the nails that you need. It wasn't until after I kind of stepped back and said, I just met George Lucas. Like, that's what that experience was like. It was nothing like Nick Castle where you're going up and saying,
so
hey.
It was more like Michael Biehn asking us for directions to the hotel type of thing.
Yeah, but him drunk. Being interested in what floor you were staying on and asking questions about, you know, what's your room like? And
that's actually even creepier with Michael Biehn being drunk.
Okay. But
tell me what your room's like. What floor is it on? I'm Michael Biehn.
George
that's
Lucas
my Michael
wasn't
Biehn
drunk.
Impression. Misa thinks we want to join you on the 14th floor.
Oh, my gosh. That is the most racist character ever.
No, there's much more racist.
No, I know there is, but I'm just saying.
Some of the Autobots in the second Transformers film beats Jar Jar. Hands down.
That's true.
They're super racist.
You know, I thought hands that was down. Funny.
And then we've got Song of the South. So.
What? Because you like racist things?
I love racism.
Because you're
racist? No, I'm not racist. I love racism. Because I think it's the most ludicrous thing in the world. So I think that everybody should be racist all the time. Not real racist, but, you know, just
fake racist.
How does one be fake racist?
I don't know. Try.
Like
effort.
Saying we are Chinese and talking about the Siamese cats.
There are a lot of racist characters.
Disney. No, I know. I said Song of the South.
Song of the South. Well, the Siamese cats are in Lady and the Tramp. And that's in the 60s.
Yep. And then also the Dumbo cats the from Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. In,
or was the cats from 1965?
Because so, there was a Siamese cat in that one, too.
Or was that 70, 72?
You're asking the wrong person.
No, but then you've got the crows with Dumbo. And
well, that's actually in 1940. I understand why we have the Jim Crows in that film. And the Fantasia, who has that the black centaur, who braids. It was cut.
Yeah.
It's cut from every version. Even the like 80s version was like, Jesus, this is too racist. Oh my God, it's.
But I mean,
over again.
I mean, if you look at like the Looney Tunes from the 40s and 50s,
well, I think
or anything
you...
from the 80s is pretty racist too. I mean,
people are just racist. Period.
I mean, like no, go to
well,
John
that's apparently. Like,
I mean,
that's...
go to John Hughes movies. I mean, Long Duck Dong, super racist.
Is that racist? I thought that was a documentary.
It's a bad caricature.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
What's the one where the guy the white guy's playing an Asian guy?
Oh, that was not another teen movie, actually. Making fun of the 80s.
No. There was one in like the 60s or the 70s.
Mickey Rooney was playing
was
her
Mickey
Asian
Rooney?
Or her, yeah. her Asian neighbor.
Comes out of the door Rary? Or something? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is
yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, I think like if you scrub those characters from history rather than recognizing them as racist.
Oh yeah.
Then I think like you're bound to have people hide and you know I say you know recognize all that shit so the people who are actually racist can come out and you don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean I always thought it was stupid that Disney buried Song of the South. I understand why they did it but like they need to own up to that shit. They did Hitler cartoons in the 40s with Donald Duck as a Nazi. So,
yeah.
Like, footage of that exists. Just
yeah. Well, you can get it. It's part of Donald Duck's like yeah. legacy collection.
Yeah, own up to that and just be like, look, this is just...
Oh, do we win?
Garage door.
Yes, we're sitting above the garage door.
Yeah, just own up
this
to that.
This makes my
just
butt feel weird.
Yeah, own up to
own
it.
Own up to it and be like, whoops,
my butt?
We did
like,
that.
Like, we have this history. We're sorry. We were once run by... a womanizing chain smoker who put on a happy face for a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, just...
And saving Mr. Banks, not showing him frickin' smoking?
He coughed and he had... Well, it was the rating... That's the rating system. That's people who are like...
I hate the historical smoking... That's the
historical
terrible.
Historical smoking rating?
Oh, I hate that. It makes me so angry.
That you can't make a film that's based at a certain time period.
Yeah.
And have, like, actual historical importance. Not, like... I'm not talking about, like, an L.A. Confidential-type noir thing where it's obviously going to be R-rated. But things like Saving Mr. Banks that can be PG-13 or PG at the very least.
Yeah.
PG-13 at the very least, as it were. Where, you know, you have this man who died of this.
Of lung cancer.
And you can illustrate a historical point to make this unappetizing, unappealing to people, as it were.
Yeah, and I mean, he was so notorious that they had a guy that would airbrush photos of him to airbrush the cigarettes out of his hand because they didn't have a picture of him without one.
Wow.
And they were like, what do we do? I mean, this was also the guy.
Learn to paint.
This was also the guy that had a mustache who said that guys could not have facial hair in his parks. And basically.
He was boss.
Well, but I mean, it was a legal way to discriminate against people by calling them cast members.
Yeah.
If you were overweight, if you didn't fit a certain look, if you weren't young and white, you couldn't be out in the parks because you didn't fit the role. And that's just bullshit. And now today they're just like, no, you can have beards. You can have.
Yeah. As long as they're trimmed.
Shit. Yeah.
And as long as you were, you know, I hate those hair nets for the face.
It's super creepy.
Yeah.
I hate him.
It's so weird.
Wait, did I say that? Or you?
I mean, I just don't think it
so
helps
weird.
Anything. Like,
the beard thing? No.
Oh, it's
if it's going to get out, it's going to get out. Yeah. But yeah, I just think like if you just... I'm glad that we took a hard left turn at this point and to like, yeah, be racist. But, you know, just recognize what you did, own up to it and move past it and be better. But we don't do that. We don't want to be better. We want to whitewash, which I think is ironic what we're doing. That we're whitewashing racism. It was my point. That good hair. I'll take that as a no, Chris, for just staring at me across the thing. But yeah, no, that's just how I feel about it. So Wonder Woman. Email us your Wonder Woman cosplay pics to info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. And our Instagram is, no, I'm just kidding.
I don't have an Instagram.
No shit. You don't take pictures with Nick Castle. Twitter. You're not going to have an Instagram.
I did take pictures with Nick
Castle. Oh, Lance Hendrickson, sorry.
Yeah. The important one, I sat there.
I will tell Millennium that you don't find him to be important.
I didn't say I didn't. Just never mind.
Scratch that.
Have that interaction. That's all I care about.
I'm happy that you did get to have all that interaction. Are you thinking about coming next
year? A little
year?
Glass movement action over here.
I mean, it honestly depends on who goes.
Yeah. Same here. But we don't need to talk about Monster. That was last week's podcast. This is a prequel.
I mean, I will say before I noticed that Nick Castle was going to be there, I probably would have talked myself out of going at some point. I probably would have been like, you know, there's something else to do. I got it. Like, it's in Charlotte and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
I would. But as soon as I saw he was there, I was like, all right.
We just got to figure out what to tell your wife so that you're like, oh, I've got a conference. That's right. A conference.
He can tell his wife. She'll be fine.
She listens to this all the time.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
How many times does she listen to that?
None times, he said.
She used to listen in the very beginning and then. Okay.
Then she got bored. She's like, I know you too.
Yeah. She wouldn't care.
Oh, I meant to ask you, can we have that now that we're on the air and you can cut this out? Are we going to have that super podcast where it's actually the three of us and John?
Yes.
Pinky swear?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not reaching across the table.
He's not doing a reach around or a reach across.
Nope.
I want to talk to John.
Yes, it'll happen.
I miss him.
You miss him from not even knowing him.
I've heard a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of podcasts with John.
But so, no, back to the original points. Like, I feel like the MCU and the DCEU, I think the DCU is dead. Well, no, I mean, God damn.
But I don't think they necessarily need a combined universe.
But, well, I think if you're going to take the time to build that, then that's fine.
But they're already taking those steps not to. I mean, there's going to be a Joker movie that's not Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Leto.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. They're talking about. Oh God, who are they talking about for the Joker?
What was that movie?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Okay, he's kind of crazy.
The 30 seconds to Mark Joe. The 30 seconds. Oh, it was in Popstar when he goes. He's like, it's like 10 seconds. It's like you're a third of the way to Mars. And he's like, I told you, 30 seconds to Mars is a band and not the actual time that it takes to get to Mars.
Yeah.
You can tell Brandon recently watched that movie to have that reference.
Yeah, I did.
I love 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm sorry. I'm not a huge Jared Leto fan, but I liked him as Jordan Catalano.
I liked him in Tron.
30 Seconds to Mars, and he was fantastic. Oh, he wasn't in Tron, was he?
No.
Who was in Tron?
That was Michael...
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen, yeah.
He was in... what was that movie that he won the...
Dallas Buyers Club.
Yes, he was amazing in that. He did a really great job in that one. But yeah.
I just think that he was a little weird as a Joker.
He's a super method actor.
Yeah,
no, and, I don't think he is. I think there's this is the issue that I have with that. I've watched parts with the actual method actor, a three name guy. He is currently in the Phantom Thread.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Like, I feel like he's, like, method and things like that. And I feel like you get these cheap knockoff method actors like Jim Carrey, like Jared Leto. And I'm sure he's a fantastic guy. Like, nothing against him.
Let's come back to Jim Carrey because I have a theory, but go ahead.
Have you watched that movie?
Yes. But
it's a fucking shit show.
Good, just
anyway, but, like, you watch them and they're like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And like, they try to act that part rather than being that part. That's what method is being that part. And that's what fucking Daniel Day-Lewis does.
And now there's all kinds of stories coming off the Suicide Squad set of like all those things of like him sending dead rats to people didn't happen. That those were circulated to make you think he was crazy and like he was going into the Joker wholeheartedly. But like people are now like happen. That never happened. Like that shit just got made up. But I mean, I don't think
it's Warner Brothers trying to sell tickets.
I don't think he's like in the pantheon of Jokers where like you're instantly going to think of Jared Leto. like you say Joker right now, I think of either Heath Ledger or Mark Hamill.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, let's give a little bit of props to Jack Nicholson.
Well,
simply because of how iconic it is.
I do, but like Heath Ledger completely turned it on his head and went from a comic book villain to a villain.
Yeah.
And made it into the realm of like this could actually happen.
Yeah.
And like Nicholson was great as a comic book villain.
Yes.
Which
is what we got at the time. In the same way that Gene Hackman is fantastic as that version of Lex Luthor.
Until you hit like Superman 4.
Yeah. I still like him in that. But How Did This Get Made is another podcast that is not a sponsor of us. But they did a whole Superman 4 thing.
Uh-huh.
They go into a long conversation about John Cryer specifically in that
Jesus.
Film.
Yeah.
So sorry, continue.
No.
I just feel like that. I agree. It's not in that, in the realm of necessary. If that makes any sense, it felt like you needed to have your own original take, and even though you made a bold choice, I just don't give a shit about your choice.
You mean Jared Leto?
Jared Leto's choice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think he was a strong character. He's like he pales in comparison to Harley.
Yeah.
Like
by far.
Like Harley looks like the crazy one, and like. Him owning a strip club and like that just doesn't
Does
make
he pay
any
taxes?
Sense with within that realm of comic books.
I love Margot Robbie.
I thought she was amazing.
She did a great job.
And I, Tanya,
she's one of the bright spots of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
If
she's pretty much the bright spot of every single movie that she's in.
Well, I think her and Will Smith make parts of Suicide Squad watchable.
I dislike Will Smith to such a degree. At least his politics about film, not his politics. I don't know what his politics are, nor do I care. But like his politics in film, are we getting too long?
No.
The politics in film are not what, because like, for example, when he did a Django Unchained,
right.
He wanted to sign a contract where he actually got to kill the main bad guy versus, you know, Christoph Waltz. And so that's how it felt. Like, all I could think about as he's, you know, spoiler alert for Suicide Squad, while he's shooting at Enchantress, all I can think about is he had to that's part of his contract.
I feel, though, like now that he's stumbled a couple of times with things.
Are you talking about After Earth?
After Earth.
Concussion?
Yeah.
Seven days or whatever that is.
7 pounds.
7 pounds. Or what else? I Am Legend.
I almost feel like he's changed a bit. It's more because he could have taken the easy money and done the second Independence Day, and he opted to do Suicide Squad because it was different, and it feels like that's a different Will Smith to me.
For me, it just feels like he wasn't going to be the main focus of that film. I feel like he would have shared the spotlight with Jeff Goldblum.
But I feel like he's a big enough star to where he would have been more the main focus. I don't know.
He would have been the main focus, but he wouldn't have had the sole spotlight.
Well,
I think that's what he needed. So, yeah, I think that plays and that doesn't play. Like, I feel like, yes, he isn't the main part of Suicide Squad, because I think when everybody thinks of Suicide Squad, they automatically go to Margot Robbie's Harlequin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Versus, you know, Deadshot. Deadshot?
I felt like Katana was completely wasted in
movie. Tons of them were wasted.
Yeah.
Like
no,
every
I,
other
I,
character
know, like,
other
yeah.
than those two characters.
Yeah,
are
no,
wasted.
I just like Katana a lot.
Rick Flag, Enchantress.
Well,
and then Slipknot?
Joel Kinnaman is not a strong actor anyway.
I beg to differ. Watch House of Cards season 5 or season 4.
That's one of the reasons why I don't think he's a
oh, really?
Good actor. Yeah.
Okay.
I watched Altered Carbon with him in it on Netflix. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was happily surprised by him.
I thought he was okay in RoboCop. I didn't think it was a good RoboCop.
Well.
I do like
I
that
love
RoboCop.
Michael Keaton, just reiterating that.
Was he in RoboCop?
The 2014 one, yeah.
Yeah, when he's
oh,
like,
he is in
he's
RoboCop.
Like, make it black, make it more tactical. And I was like, shut up, you say stupid things sometimes. And I love
well,
you
that
still.
That was their way of making it different. And people are trying to make so many things different. They're like, we can't make that same movie again. Well, you're making that same movie again. Just make the same stupid choices, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
What was the other remake that was so bad that Colin Farrell was in?
It was so bad. Miami Vice?
No, that was an awesome movie.
SWAT?
Total Recall.
Oh, Total Recall.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was terrible.
Oh, well, that was... Okay,
yeah.
So...
That was
they completely
addressing
destroyed that.
The, those three movies. Miami Vice is an amazing fucking movie that has nothing to do with Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was the other one?
SWAT
was a terrible movie that I can watch every once in a while, and it reminds me of how terrible the movie is. It's one of those movies that lives in my brain that I know I've seen several times. I have no idea what the plot of that movie is. Phantoms with Rose McGowan and Ben Affleck, I have seen that movie so many times, and I have no idea what the plot of that movie is. It makes me so very happy to watch
except
that movie.
That you know that he was the bomb.
Ben was the
and
bomb.
Yes.
I was just about to say that.
But I have no idea what that movie is. I don't know if there's movies that you rewatch over and over again, knowing that they're bad, but you can't remember them to such a degree where you're like, oh, this movie is a piece of shit.
Oh, well, no, because, I mean, I watch it because it's so bad, and I love it because it's so bad as Troll 2.
Well, that's different.
But that's different, yeah. No, there's a handful of, like, rom-coms that are so bad that I keep watching over and over again that I don't know why.
I think everybody has their dirty pleasure films of, like...
Dirty pleasure?
Well, right? Dirty pleasure?
Tell us about your dirty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Whatever.
No, I want to hear about your dirty...
Get off me.
Dirty pleasures.
That's a different podcast.
Dirty pleasure.
Dirty pleasures.
You just Brandon. Is this like Scooby-Doo XXX?
Yes. Yep. Everybody has their guilty pleasure movies.
And the problem is that sometimes it's hard for me to actually admit that it's a guilty pleasure because I'm like, no, this movie was a pleasure for me. Like, our friend was saying Romy and Michelle was a guilty pleasure, and I'm like, no, I effing love that movie.
That is a guilty pleasure.
It's not guilty. I am not guilty of loving that movie.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Nope, I stand by it. I am not guilty of loving that movie. I love that movie. Straight up pleasure.
What are some of your dirty pleasure movies?
Dirty pleasures.
Well, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. It's too dirty.
Yes.
What about you? You've been talkative as hell.
Too dirty.
Oh, too dirty? Too fast, too furious?
It's more of...
Why the hell did that movie franchise get so good? What gave them the right to make Fast Five?
Because some of them are fun. It's not... They're not going to be winning any acting awards.
Oh, okay.
But watching two cars pull a safe and destroy buildings in Rio is fun.
Watching a stunt on a freaking 18-wheeler jumping a freaking freeway is amazing.
Yeah.
What?
It's a lot of fast action.
And furious action.
It's fast and furious.
Actually, I would say Mannequin is a definitely guilty pleasure. That movie does not add up.
No, Mannequin is fine. Mannequin on the Move is where they start to lose the plot a little bit. However, I do get Christy Swanson.
Just the movie doesn't make any sense, but it's amazing.
Make sense? She's an Egyptian princess. She is cursed. She becomes a mannequin. That mannequin is magically transported to New York, and then Hollywood's like, oh my God. And then freaking Herman's Head. No, that's part two, isn't it?
Andrew McCarthy's in the person.
Andrew McCarthy. He is an actor that I want to see more of. You should cast him in Suicide Squad too, guys.
Sure.
I love Andrew McCarthy.
What do you not like about Weekend at Bernie's? Weekend at Bernie's 2 is a guilty pleasure movie.
Is it? Okay.
It's a terrible movie.
Well, I
know the plot of that movie, though, unlike Phantoms. I feel like I'm boring Chris now.
Chris hasn't said his... Y'all haven't said y'all's guilty pleasures.
I'm trying to think. I'm truly trying to think.
While Chris is thinking, you can send your emails to info@dancemonkeypodcast. Tell us about your guilty pleasure movie, and catch us on Twitter at.
I'm trying to look at my collection because I'm sure that there's one in there somewhere.
Cloud Atlas.
Well, I don't consider that a guilty pleasure.
Well, you should.
I like that
You're
film.
Just guilty of buying it.
Whatever.
You should own your Star Trek movies on Blu-ray. They're marvelous on Blu-ray.
Thanks.
They're really good. The Blu-rays to those are really, really good. I'll buy a set of those eventually. When I have
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I feel like I have another one and I just can't remember.
Is that Gridiron Gang?
It's hard for me to differentiate.
That is my wife's.
Sure it is.
It is.
Okay.
What is Gridiron Gang?
It's a rock movie.
Oh.
It's during that period where he did like Tooth Fairy and
he blames his agent for it. I don't know if that's true.
Game Plan. He did this one and it was like him trying to teach football to underprivileged kids or something. Yeah. I don't remember what the actual plot was.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I remember.
It's the plot of Hardball.
You got me. Devil's Advocate. That is a guilty pleasure movie.
That's sitting over there somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was like. I was just Keanu. I love him. But yeah, in Hardball, I didn't hate that movie.
I did, because it's a piece of shit.
I'm always going to watch Keanu and everything, sometimes begrudgingly. Because that one movie that we watched, too, that you had.
I thought of one.
Kristen did, too.
No. When you said rock movie, I went in the direction of, like, this is Spinal Tap.
No, that's a shit movie. Rockstar with Jennifer Aniston and Mark Wahlberg?
Mm-hmm.
That's a flaming pile of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's over there, too. That's in my
list. Are you serious?
Oh, my gosh.
She has great taste in movies.
That's so funny.
Fuck, no, I forgot it.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Everybody quiet.
One that, if it's on TV, I will sit and watch. And I've seen it a billion times, and it's one of those things, it's like, it's just ridiculous, is Empire Records.
That is not a guilty pleasure.
It is for me.
That is a pleasure 100%. Movie.
It is for me.
I love guilty that pleasure movie. Movie.
It, for me, it's a guilty pleasure.
Like, that and
Clueless. It's so not me. As like a movie watcher, that I can't.
That's really funny because you're a couple of years older than us.
Yeah.
And
I'm 43.
Huh?
I'm 43.
You just had a birthday.
Be 44 this year.
You didn't just have a birthday.
No.
Are you on Facebook? You are on Facebook.
Did you just say Clueless was a guilty pleasure?
For me, it is. My personal guilty pleasure movie. Do not like that movie. Oh, I can quote
Brooke's
it.
Punch
and
him in the
I
face.
Do almost daily.
Bring It On is a pleasure.
Bring It On is kind of a guilty pleasure movie. We saw that.
Legally Blonde's a guilty pleasure.
So, to tell you a quick story. We went to New Orleans, Kristen and I did. And we went to a place to drink. This place was called Shots. And the waitress in the bar had Bring It On. And she's like, yeah, we have to watch sports channels, and this kind of looks like a cheerleading competition, and I want to see this movie. so please don't tell them that I'm watching this. And we're like, no, 100% on board. Love this freaking movie. So then I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Can I use the restroom after we've been drinking for a little bit? And she's like, yeah, Biff Tannen. I don't know why Biff Tannen flew.
Biff Tannen, the pleasure palace.
Yeah, whoever the guy was, she's like, let him in. And so he's like, oh, right this way. And so they open the door, and there's this gorgeous like. Half-naked Amazon woman walked up to me, and she's like, oh, do you need a table? And I'm like, I'm like in a t-shirt and jeans, because I'm just there to drink all up and down Bourbon Street. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Thank you. I need the restroom. And she's like, that way. It was a strip club behind this place.
Nice.
So, and like with, it's top shelf strippers. I don't know if shelf.
Top shelf strippers.
But the name of my cover band in high school.
Top shelf strippers. But yeah, it was a fantastic club that I saw as I kind of slightly averted my eyes because I was embarrassed. Because at not 43, get embarrassed still.
Never been kissed.
That is a guilty
pleasure. It's a very big, I mean, that doesn't add up, but I love Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore, posing
and,
as a high school student.
The guy from Alias.
Okay.
Michael
Vartan.
Vartan. Yes, he's cute.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie never. That is not.
He's no my Greek fat, big fat Greek wedding, Northern Exposure guy.
Oh, I love him so much.
Who's your favorite male crush?
I love him, and that's why I hate Sex
crush?
In the City. That's why I hate
Fillion.
Sex in the City.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go gay for Nathan Fillion.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Why did I meet?
Has he met Joe?
Spreading for Nate. Nate F.
Why do I not remember his name?
I don't know.
That's why I hate. That's actually one of the reasons why I hate Sex in the City, because she dumps him. And I'm like, you're stupid.
That's the
you're the dumbest
reasons?
Person in the world to dump him because he's nice to you. And it's freaking cannot remember his name
Kristen,
right now.
Tell us about your guilty pleasure movie.
Hey,
do you have one?
I don't know. let's listen to Brayden's
stomach. Yeah.
Maybe She's All That.
Yeah.
I'd say those are a lot of those are guilty pleasure movies. One of those, that ilk for me, is Get Over It with Mark Foster. No, Mark Foster's the director. And Kirsten Dunst and Mila Kunis.
Thought of another one.
Yeah, go.
I haven't seen it in a while, but when it was out, for some reason it was something I watched constantly. It was the movie Airborne.
Jesus.
The
How are you
rollerblading
not like 5
movie?
Years? Oh no, I'm very good at Airborne. How are you not like 5 years younger?
I don't know.
Pretty much like everybody who is like 10 years younger than
me. It's got the weird Seth Green with the weird fucked up bob cut.
It's
and
got
you're like, whoa.
Alana. Oh god, I can't remember not her last name. She was in the second sister act, and she was in Waiting. She was an angry chick in Waiting.
Okay.
She plays his girlfriend,
and she's right. also in Legally Blonde and Legally Blonde Red White.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Blonde.
Yeah, Albach maybe. Alana is her first okay. name. I know that, but I like her a lot. She's yeah. hilarious.
Speaking of Seth Green and guilty pleasure movies, My Stepmother is an alien.
Idle Hands.
Okay.
Yeah, Idle Hands is actually a pretty decent movie that just nobody saw.
I have that on VHS.
A lot of Sandra Bullock movies.
Yeah.
All About Steve.
Speed.
The Net. Like Speed. The Net.
The Net. Oh, Jesus.
God, Jesus. It's a piece of shit.
I love that movie.
My mom loves that movie. A big guilty so I bought pleasure. Her The Net 2.0.
No.
Just to fuck with her.
That's a big one for me. I like watching that movie a lot. I don't know why. I just do. I was on board with anything Sandra Bullock.
Miscongeniality.
I mean,
email us with your fantasies of Sandra Bullock on Fire on the Amazon.
What?
What was that one? Numbers.
Fire on the Amazon. She was making that movie, wasn't she? Murder by Numbers.
Murder by Numbers. Ooh.
With Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, they were dating at the time.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I date Sandra Bullock.
I date Ryan Reynolds.
I would date Speed era.
What?
Like Speed era, Sandra Bullock.
I would actually date her like I would date her in like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Sandra Bullock. Mm.
All About Steve is I should not like that movie. That. Is that the one? Yeah, yeah. I should not like that movie. I like that movie a lot too. That's should not.
She wasn't listening. To you. She was not listening. To me.
It's terrible. It's absolutely. All right, terrible.
So I have a Jim Carrey thing.
Oh yeah, I want to hear Jim Carrey thing. I'm curious about it. If you've not watched what is the movie?
Andy and Me.
Andy and Me. Yeah, shit, it's on Netflix. It's Andy and Me.
Yeah, it's about the making of Man in the Moon.
It's one of the most gonzo hour and 45 minutes that you will listen, sit through.
So my theory after watching it is that the entire thing was made up.
I could see that.
That you find out very quickly that it's Andy's girlfriend and the guy Bob Zmuda making this documentary. And Bob Zmuda is actually Tony Clifton.
Well, he's one of Tony Clifton. There's three total.
And I kind of feel like they had this wild idea to be like, let's shoot a documentary while we're doing this, where Jim's in character the entire time, and he's being inhabited by Andy Kaufman.
I don't know if Milos Forman would have allowed that.
I do, because there's those shots where they're making Milos Forman push Jim Carrey around in the wheelchair,
yeah.
Where I'm like, he's got to be in on this. There's no way that you can do this.
I don't know. Milos put up with F. Murray Abraham in 1982.
I just feel like, and there's definitely a scene in there where they're talking about, and I think it's in the trailer where they're like, yeah, they're not going to let us use any of this footage because we're going to get sued by everybody.
Yeah, I remember that exactly.
And then they show that exact same thing at the very end, right before the credits. And the one guy's like, really? And Jim Carrey is like, no, I'm fucking with you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, they set that all up. That whole fucking thing was just a setup.
Well, it's one of those things where you're like, I can believe that, and I cannot believe that.
Right.
I mean, it could go either way.
But like all the stuff of like them being in the makeup room, and he's blasting the music, and Judd Hirsch is like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like they wouldn't have gotten, if it had been really happening, they wouldn't have gotten permission from all these people later on to show this.
And they could. I think that's true. It could also be that there's so much time separating the two.
But I think that's why it came out now, is like, they didn't want to do it right then. They wanted to save it, because in the beginning, Jim Carrey, they were asking Jim Carrey about it in his interview, and he was like, if it was up to me, this would have been done a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think they had the idea, and maybe the company got like nervous that they don't want to tarnish their movie with the idea of like this mockumentary thing going on.
So they gave like 10 on the 15 side. Years
so they were, they just saved it, and it got buried in other projects, and like, somebody came back to it and said, we should really finish this. Well,
Andy Kaufman was all about Long Game.
And that's why I feel like this completely fits into his style.
Yeah.
And if you're going to honor Andy Kaufman, this is the way to do it. But like all that stuff of like, I was sitting on a beach and all of a sudden he entered into my spirit and he was the one to make this movie. I'm like, dude, even if you're religious, you're not
Well, he's not. He's you're clearly not religious.
Well, you're not buying into any of like what he's saying. So
there was that one. I can't remember which movie he was doing, but he was like, it was an MTV Movie Award or Music Award. He came on and he was all like
in the beard.
In the beard stuff. Like, and they were like, oh, he's just like, outfit. Yeah, they're like, oh, he's just doing it because of a movie. And I'm like, no, I think he's just doing it to fuck with you.
Yeah. And that's why I totally feel...
It wasn't him preparing for anything. And that's what everybody was trying to say. Oh, he's just preparing. And I'm like, no, he just wants to fuck with you.
Because, I mean, there's all that footage in this of, like, him driving around with a bag on his head.
Yeah.
And, like, crashing into walls and stuff. And you're like...
That's fucking weird.
Like, they wouldn't have allowed that. On set, unless something else was going on. You just can't say star doing method acting.
Yeah.
You say that... But then you watch the real life drama unfolding behind the Joaquin Phoenix documentary and whatnot.
But that was a mockumentary going into it,
right? But now there are actual sexual assault cases coming out of that.
Well,
that is literally the worst experience I've ever had. Is watching that piece of shit.
I think there's many worse movies.
No. I actually growing up, I kind of liked Joaquin Phoenix and
his
Casey
name was
Affleck.
When he was River before he changed his name.
Is it too soon?
Is River Phoenix jokes too soon?
Yes.
I'm sorry, guys. The Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade kid is dead. I didn't kill him.
But like, I don't know. I was like, okay. And watching that movie is it just a steaming pile of shit? I hate that movie.
It was a piece of shit. But I also didn't like I Am Here.
That's the one I was talking about.
No.
Which one are you talking about?
You're thinking about the I Am Here is the Bob Dylan movie.
Oh, no. Okay, no. I was talking about the Joaquin Phoenix.
Or I'm Not Here, I think is.
Okay, no.
I mean, it made for some very, very interesting segments, like the David Letterman thing. But
by then it was already told. You already heard that.
Well,
which one is the one with Joaquin doing all that weird shit with Casey Affleck?
Sure.
What is it called? Keep
going. I think it's called I'm Not Here or something.
No, I'm Not There is the...
I'm not there
is the Bob Dylan one.
Okay. Right.
But anyway, the Joaquin thing, oh, God, I'm so angry at that. I'm angry. I want my time back from that. And I have actually erased pieces of that movie because I just want to forget it. It is awful. And it makes me to the point where I'm like, I don't want to see either one of you in a movie. I didn't want to see Manchester by the Sea specifically because of that movie.
I hear Ghost is really good.
Oh, you can hear that all you want.
Ghost Story. No. Ghost is good. Ghost is a great movie with Patrick Swayze.
No, what's the one with
Ghost Story? Shit about
Ghost
awful.
Story. Oh, okay.
Yeah, a Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Okay.
I
hear it's one of those that you watch once and then you'll never watch it again.
Do you enjoy pretentious movies? Like seriously, enjoy pretentious movies?
That's the one thing that I can't stand in cinema is pretentious.
No, I'm asking. If you do, you do. Then you probably might like it.
It truly depends on the movie.
You might like it.
Okay.
I hated it. I didn't like it. I fell asleep during it too.
Let me ask you this question. Lobster? Did you like In Her Skin with
I don't know. I don't think
with what's her face?
Under the Skin,
sorry. With not Sarah Jessica Parker. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, is that where they went out and they talked to a bunch of people and that they didn't know they were being filmed or something?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
That one has
if you like that one, it's the same pace as a Ghost Story.
Okay.
I personally disliked both of them.
Okay.
Because I don't need to be engaged constantly, but I do need to be engaged constantly. Because otherwise, what's the point of watching a movie if you're not paying attention to the movie?
Right.
And we're not talking about long, lengthy credit sequences like a freaking bottle of champagne flying through a spaceship like in Generations. We're talking about like, you know, an actual movie where you're having to sit there and be like, what is the point of this movie? And that's kind of how I thought about Ghost Story.
No.
Well, Lobster's a different
thing. No.
Oh, okay.
Lobster's a different movie that we did not like. But yeah, you know.
But see, like, Brandon and I argue about one movie. And he thinks it's super pretentious. I think it's making fun of pretension.
I think it's a piece of
shit. Royal Tenenbaums?
No, I Heart Huckabees.
I Heart Huckabees?
Okay.
Royal Tenenbaums is a genius film.
I feel like it's mocking pretension. So that's why I enjoy it, because I don't feel like it is being pretentious. I think it's mocking it. That's how I approach that movie. He thinks it's just pretentious.
Mostly because it is solely.
Oh, okay. I enjoy Mark Wahlberg in that movie. It makes me laugh. And maybe I'm not supposed to laugh
at it.
You
know what doesn't make me laugh? What? That movie.
Maybe it's not supposed to make me laugh. Maybe I'm just seeing a completely different movie. Maybe I'm taking shots during The Happening. I don't know. But like I find I Heart Huckabees. I find humor in it.
A lot during The Happening.
Make it a drinking game.
I wish I was drinking during The Happening.
That's one of the times where you wish in your life you actually had alcohol.
Yeah.
I we have watched everything except, well, I've watched all of them, unfortunately. I took them on an M. Night Shyamalan journey just so that they could watch all these movies to be like, this is why I hate this dude.
I never really watched him. Because our friend
Chrissy, she loved Split, and I absolutely abhorred it.
Okay.
I think The Visit was his last good one. Actually, his main good one. Because that one's more rewatchable than this Sixth Sense. The Visit?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine.
I liked The Visit.
I don't enjoy him as a filmmaker.
No.
I liked The Visit. I didn't hate The Village because I didn't see it when everybody else did. And I had comparison of worst movies that he did.
I thought Sixth Sense had a clever twist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but not rewatchable.
No, and everything from there just got worse and worse.
I like Signs.
Signs was stupid.
Signs was fine.
Signs was stupid.
Why would an alien race come to a
as planet long as you can ignore that water? Question, the then death. Everything else is fine. In the movie.
Again.
But then again, they're supposed to be like demons or something. Like there's this whole other like plot thing going on the internet of like.
Again, I didn't really hate The Village though. I didn't really hate it. Like again,
I felt like
love it.
I felt like the other ones. I thought I don't. I felt like the other ones absorbed my hatred.
I felt like the Village blew their load too early on the reveal, because they reveal a whole bunch of the shit like midway through the movie, and if you're gonna try to do the twist, you at least wait until a little farther.
That's the issue. Is it's always based on a twist rather than making an interesting film.
Well, and that was the thing that killed them. Yeah. I mean, I thought Unbreakable was okay because you don't really know what's going on until the very end.
I didn't care at the very end.
Okay.
Again, if you haven't seen The Visit, I think The Visit's fine. It's fine. It's a fine horror movie.
It's a quiet little horror film. It's found footage. So if you can put up with the Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch-esque approach to
it's
it.
It's not completely found footage, no.
Yeah, it all is.
No, it's not.
Every single shot in that all movie right, is.
Fight.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's him on his camera. It's his
did
sister.
Did they do it
the
whole entire time? I thought there was pieces that they took away from that.
No.
No.
It's fine. It's fine. It's not offensive. It's a fine little horror movie. It's okay. Interesting.
And then there's
Catherine Hahn, which I like Catherine Hahn.
For 12 seconds.
I know. I don't care. I'm on board.
You look like you have something to say.
No.
Bad Moms is a guilty pleasure.
You want people to tweet their favorite M. Night Shyamalan films. Why do you get so mad at that? I love that it frustrates you so much. Because I don't think it really frustrates you.
No.
But I always enjoy getting that.
Fake frustration. Oh, Jesus.
Bad Moms and Bad Moms Christmas.
Dance Monkey Dance Podcast at Dance Monkey Dance. Is that Twitter?
DMT.
You don't know your own Twitter account?
I do.
Son of a bitch.
It's for him to know.
So that's what right. Are we taking away from this conversation? It's okay to like Wonder Woman. It's okay to like Black Panther. But there are probably people out there that appreciate it more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not okay to like M. Night Shyamalan.
It's not okay to like M. Night Shyamalan overall.
Jim Carrey pulled a long con.
Long con Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. Long con Jim Carrey, who's also the racist character. Racism is acceptable if it's in jest.
It's him and Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey.
As long as you recognize it and don't do it.
That's yeah. Right. Recognize that it's stupid.
Yep.
We didn't talk about Wacky Racers at all.
Nope.
But Hong Kong Phooey was in that show, wasn't he?
He had his own.
Was he part of the Wacky Racers?
I think so. Yeah.
Was?
I just remember. I just remember Dirk Dastardly and Muttley and Penelope Pitstop.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with Grey Babe?
Muttley's the best because he gets his treats and then he freaks out.
Awesome. What else have we learned?
Rami and Michelle is not a guilty pleasure movie. It's a pleasure movie.
Jaws is one of the best movies ever made.
Did
we even talk about Jaws?
No, he but in my brain, it always like tracks because that's a movie that I always have to watch when it's on. My friend Brian's the same way. I've seen that movie a lot.
Yes.
Jaws 3 is a guilty pleasure movie, though.
Yeah.
Well, I guess better that than Jaws 4.
Don't waste actors' times like Michael Shannon and Ben Kingsley.
It's right. Okay to watch a crap movie as long as you don't remember it.
Okay.
But as long as you don't keep watching it.
The MCU is... No, I keep watching. I own these movies because I don't remember.
Wait, so you don't remember Jaws 4?
No, I don't remember Jaws 4 that much.
The movie that,
about SWAT.
That Michael Caine signed on to because he wanted to buy a house?
And he skipped the Academy Awards that year.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar and was like, peace. I'm in the Bahamas or wherever that was filmed.
Do you own SWAT?
I don't own SWAT, actually. Okay. I do own Phantoms. I do own possibly two copies of Phantoms.
And yet you don't know what it's about.
No clue. I know it's about a liquid substance in the sewer system.
Okay.
Is it not Chud?
It's basically like Chud, I would assume, if I knew what Chud was, if I remember Chud very well. I've got Chud and Chud 2, though.
That was actually weird. Nathan Fillion referenced it on an episode of Castle, and it made me laugh. He said something about Chud, and I was like, that's really funny.
We learned that Nathan Fillion will cause Krista Mann spread.
Yes. All right, well. I think that's a place to end it.
Manspreading. Thank you.
Are you ever going to have us back after
this? Thank you for mansplaining, manspreading.
Yes.
He didn't really.
Tell us what manspreading is.
I don't know. It's butt cheeks.
No.
Butt cheeks.
It is just men taking up space.
That was my context for Krista because he said he would go gay for the filth.
Well, thanks for that.
Thank you for having us.
Is there anything you guys want to plug before we end this awkward conversation?
Is it awkward?
Well, it is now.
what do I also have to plug?
Is Brandon kept saying butt cheeks?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Butt cheeks.
I'm on Twitter at SUD1183, and I'm Kristen.
I'm Brandon, but yeah, Percy Patchett, you can find on YouTube. Look up Percy. Yes, he's funny.
Please give Percy some love.
He's awesome.
He's got a cat.
Named Mr. Higgins.
He's a fun little ball of
fur.
Not really. I'm not that interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, my pictures are not that. I'm lazy on Instagram.
Mm.
So it's either food or horror movies.
Cooking and taking pictures of
mostly
food.
Food trucks.
I enjoy cooking. You enjoy taking pictures of the food.
I did actually start it, and I want to go back to it. I started trying to take pictures of plants taking over industrial stuff, and hashtag it life finds a way.
Okay.
But
I like taking pictures of Kristen taking selfies.
God, I hate it so much. It's terrible.
I got the weird picture taken of me at Mad Monster at my car. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I love that picture.
Stop it.
Why?
Because you said, you don't know what my car looks like. So I took a picture of you and it has this plate.
So he's doing it. And I'm like, Brandon, he's not going to remember that he said that. So why are you waiting to take this picture?
Because he's a creepy stalker.
The long game. Mm. What do we learn from Jim Carrey?
Andy Kaufman.
Yes. That much is true.
You can email us how much you think I'm not like Andy Kaufman at
All right.
I mean,
well,
it makes you feel better. I'm not an Andy Kaufman fan.
Oh,
so.
Man.
All right. Anything else?
No, good?
Really.
No?
All right. You sure?
Yeah. What do you want to plug?
All right.
What do you
want to
plug?
I don't have anything to plug.
Do you want to plug podcast. Any of your excitingnesses?
I don't have anything to plug yet. We'll come back.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email, info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
Brooke. Kristen.
And Brandon.
Have a good week.
Bye.